Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It has been an intense few weeks here in our worship life at Oak Harbor Lutheran Church as we move through Holy Week and into the Easter season. As we gathered on Good Friday, we commemorated together the crucifixion of our Lord. We heard on that solemn Friday how Jesus sweat blood in the garden, how he was betrayed and arrested and mocked and beaten and then eventually nailed to the cross. We heard how when he bowed his head in death, he said, "It is finished." And in a sense, it was finished. Jesus had died for the sins of the world. But there was still some unfinished business to take care of. And so we came back on Easter morning. We heard the good news that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We heard that Jesus had been raised from the dead, that the tomb was empty. The women heard the good news from the two people in dazzling white in the tomb there. They went back and told the disciples all they had seen and heard, but the disciples thought it was an idle tale. The disciples did not believe it. And so although sin, death, and the devil had been conquered by the resurrection, there was still some unfinished business to be taken care of. And so we heard last week how Jesus appeared to the disciples. He said, "Peace be with you." He showed them his hands and his side. He breathed on them, and then he sent them out. And it was then that the disciples rejoiced. But even then, there was still some unfinished business to take care of because Thomas wasn't there. And so the following Sunday, Jesus came and he took care of Thomas. But even then, there was still some unfinished business to take care of. And that brings us to our gospel reading for today. There was still some unfinished business between Jesus and Peter. Peter is a hot mess throughout the Gospels. A brief review of his time in the Gospels really proves that point. Of course, Peter was the one that Jesus invited him to walk out on the water, and he did okay for a couple steps. Then he got afraid and started flailing around in the water, sinking down. Peter was invited to witness the glorious transfiguration of our Lord, and he just blurts out the first thing that comes to his mind, "We need to build some stuff here," not knowing what he was saying, and Jesus just vetoes that right away. When Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Peter showed a glimmer of competence for just a moment, because he says, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of God." But then when Jesus explained what that meant, that the Son of God must undergo suffering and die and be raised on the third day, Peter thought he knew better than Jesus. And so he says, "No, no, Lord, this must never happen to you." And so Jesus says, "You are setting your mind on human things, not divine things. Get behind me, Satan." Jesus said that to Peter. Later on, when Jesus would wash the feet of the disciples, Peter said, "No way, you're not washing my feet." And when Jesus explained what all this meant, he said, "Fine, wash all of me." And Jesus says, "No, that's not really it either, Peter. You're still not getting it." At the Last Supper, Peter boasted that even if all these other disciples desert you, Lord, I will never desert you. I will die before I will desert you. It was a boast that would come back to bite him. And then when Jesus was arrested, Peter went out and pulled his sword and struck the high priest's slave, Malchus, and cut off his ear before Jesus had to scoldingly tell him to put his sword back in its sheath. "This is not what we're about tonight," Jesus was saying. So it's true, Peter's a hot mess throughout the Gospels, but he saved his worst failure for last. After Jesus was hauled away to his death, Peter was warming himself beside a charcoal fire. He was trying to blend in with everyone else, but someone recognized him. "Hey, I know who you are. You're one of those followers of Jesus, aren't you?" Peter said, "No, not me." Again, a little later, someone recognized him. "Hey, you're one of those disciples of Jesus, aren't you?" Peter said, "No, man, I am not." And then a third time, someone identified Peter as a follower of Jesus, but Peter responded in such a way that said he didn't even know who Jesus was. Jesus died for Peter's sin, for all of it. But on the other side of the resurrection, there was still some unfinished business to take care of. Peter needed that forgiveness that Jesus had won for him applied to him directly, like a salve on what was still an open wound. In order for that resurrection life to take hold of him, Peter needed to be restored. And so the risen Lord Jesus came for him. After filling up the disciples' nets, after enjoying a breakfast on the beach with all the disciples, Jesus turns his attention to Peter. He has a conversation with Peter right beside a charcoal fire. Could this be a coincidence? If you know anything about the way John tells the story of Jesus, you know it's not a coincidence. Jesus is symbolically meeting Peter back at the scene of the crime. But Jesus had a question for Peter that goes back even further. It goes back to the upper room, to the Last Supper. He says, "Simon, son of John," using Peter's full name so you know it's serious. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" It was a piercing question. Remember what you said about how even if all these desert me, you never will? Remember what actually happened? "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," Peter responds. And Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus asks him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Again, Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." And then Jesus asks a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" If it wasn't clear before what Jesus was doing, it was very clear now. Three questions, three times, once for each of Peter's denials beside that other charcoal fire. It quickly becomes clear that Jesus touched a nerve here with Peter. We're almost never told in the Gospels how anyone feels about anything. It just isn't important to the Gospel writers how people are feeling about this or that. But here we are told. Here we're told that Peter was hurt. Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him the third time. Jesus hurt Peter's feelings. Sometimes medicine stings, right? Sometimes we need to hurt before we can heal. And this is what Jesus is doing for Peter. He's healing him. He's restoring him. He's addressing that gaping wound in their relationship. Jesus is taking care of unfinished business here. And it's in this moment, in this conversation beside this charcoal fire, that Peter begins to be restored. Jesus is giving him a calling. Jesus is saying, "I'm going to use you. I'm going to work through you to care for my people, to care for my church." It's in this moment, in this conversation, along with a generous outpouring of the Holy Spirit a little bit later, that Peter is transformed from the bumbling disciple we see in the Gospels to the brave and bold preacher we read about in the book of Acts. It is in this moment, in this conversation, as painful as it might be, that Christ's forgiveness began to take root in Peter so that he could begin to live in the power of the resurrection. We are now 3 weeks into the Easter season. Is there any unfinished business between you and God? On the one hand, it is finished. Your salvation is secured. Christ Jesus already died and rose for you. This is objectively true. But on the other hand, there's almost always some unfinished business between us and God as we continue to fall into the sin that prevents us from living in the power of the resurrection. Like Peter, we flail about in unbelief and fear. Like Peter, there are times when we think that we know better than Jesus. We doubt his word, thinking we can improve upon it with our own better ideas. Like Peter, there are times when we lash out at the world around us with swords of anger and spite. Like Peter, we make bold claims about how much we love Jesus and about how much we're going to do for him. But then, when it might actually cost us something, we pretend that we don't even know him. Do you have any unfinished business with Christ, like Peter did? When my wife and I were blessed with our second child, our second son, we named him Peter. I've often wondered, as I've preached on the Apostle Peter's foibles over the years, if that was a mistake. I don't want my son to get a complex being named after one of the biggest failures in the Bible, at least in the Gospels. I suppose at least I didn't name him Judas, right? And so over the years, I found myself intentionally explaining to my son that Peter made mistakes, but Jesus restored him. Jesus forgave him. Peter even denied Jesus 3 times. But Jesus loved him so much. He continued to love him so much that he came back for him. He loved him, he restored him, and he did great things through him. And so I've said to my son, we named you Peter because you are loved and forgiven. We named you Peter because we believe that even in the midst of the mistakes that you are going to make in life, God is going to use you to bless others. In fact, he already is. This is true for all of you too, no matter what your name might be. The risen Jesus continues to come to his people through the ministry of the church. He comes through word and sacrament to restore us, to care for us, to give us a calling. Sometimes this means addressing the charcoal fire in the room. Sometimes it means addressing the charcoal fire in our lives. Sometimes it means Jesus will ask questions of us that sting. He'll speak a word to us that hurts. We shouldn't avoid this. We can't avoid this. I went to the ELCA Churchwide Assembly in Chicago in 2007, and I heard a church leader get up to the microphone and say that the church needs to stop talking so much about sin because people don't like to hear it. And I wanted to scream, well, no kidding, right? But think about it. Think about this. A dentist does his patients no favors by never talking about cavities. A doctor doesn't do her patients any favors by not talking about cancer. In the same way, the church does no one any favors by not talking about sin. We should speak about it with gentleness and with tact. We should always speak about it from a place of love. But to not talk about sin is to cease to do the ministry Jesus called us to do. It is to cease to be the church. It might hurt, just like Christ's question to Peter hurt Peter. But sometimes we need to hurt in order to heal. Jesus only ever touches that nerve in order to heal it. So whatever unfinished business there might be between you and Jesus today, this morning he comes to you to heal it. He comes to restore you through his word of forgiveness. He comes to feed you not with fish and bread, but with his own body and blood. He comes to make you his own once again so that you might begin to live in the power of the resurrection, in peace and in hope and in joy. In spite of the mistakes that you have made in life, your risen Lord is going to use you to bless and feed others. In fact, he already is. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like you to stand as we sing.